handle that. And David tells over how he once was shepherding his sheep, and a bear and a lion came and attacked the sheep, and he was able to fend them off. So that is David HaMelech's claim that, you know, certainly if I was able to fend off these animals, I'll be able to fight Goliath, to fight Goliath. And just as Hashem, in Pasuk, let's read Pasuk Lamed Zayin, so Vayomer David said, Hashem hitzilani miyad ha'arim miyad adov, Hashem saved me from the lion and from the bear, hu yatzulenu miyad ha'plishti hazeh, he will save me from this plishti. Right, Rashi explains that he was saying that I know that wasn't for nothing that I had a miraculous experience of defeating a... Oh, sorry. Here, you should go to the front section. Yeah, in here. No, the front section.
Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. Yeah.
He says, I know it wasn't for nothing that I defeated the donkey... Sorry, the lion and the bear. And the donkey. No, the lion and the bear. It wasn't for nothing. So... it was Hashem sort of sending me a message that I will have my moment where I'm going to be the one to save the Jewish people. Okay, Pasuk. Oh, the end of the Pasuk, Lamed Zayin, by Yomer Shaul El David. And Shaul said to David, Lech, go, Vashem Yiyah Imach, and Hashem will be with you. Vayalbe Shaul es David Madav. And Shaul dressed David in his clothing or his armor. The Nasan Kova Nechoshes al Rosho, and he placed a iron cap on his, sorry, copper helmet on his head. Vayabesh Oso Shir Yonin, he dressed him in armor. So Rashi here says that, right, it says that Shaul put his clothing onto David. Now Shaul, we know, is described as Mishichmo Ulamala. He was from his shoulder and up, he was taller than everyone in Klal Yisrael. So he was much taller than David. And so his clothing certainly would not have fit on David. So Rashi quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says that his clothing changed to fit David. Interestingly, Rashi says from the moment that David was anointed in secret by Shmuel, from that moment, the clothing, the royal garb, or that Shaul had no longer fit him, and now fit David. Even though Shaul was much taller, but still, so now his clothing didn't fit him anymore. And when Rashi concludes, when Shaul saw this, so this was sort of his first inkling that maybe David is going to be the one that's going to take his throne. He got an eye in Ra. He got an evil eye on David for being the one to now wear, you know, wear the royal clothes, and to see that they miraculously fit David now and not Shaul. That's the Medrash. Now, there are those who understand that it didn't happen right away. It didn't happen. There are those who understand that it didn't happen when Shmuel first anointed David in secret, but rather it happened right now. It was at this moment It was at this very moment that all of a sudden Shaul took off his garbs and he put them on David, and they fit David miraculously. So the question then is, what was Shaul thinking? Why would he have thought to dress David in his clothes if he was so much taller? And there's no way that they would have fit. So this question is asked by the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, and he suggested two answers. His first answer was that Shaul thought that that Shaul was put on like his shirt, which reached halfway down him, and he thought that would be, you know, a good robe for David because he's so much taller. And miraculously, after he put on his shirt onto David, it actually fit David like a shirt, not like a long robe, as he had expected. He thought that it would be very big on David, so it would... So his shirt would be like a robe for David, but it wasn't. It actually fit him the same way that it fits Shaul. That's one answer. And his other answer is that he wasn't talking about his clothes, he was talking about his armor. And even though it was going to be big on him, it was still, he was still wanted to give him that armor, and he put it on. And in that case, this would not be going with the Medrash that it miraculously fit David. He put on his armor onto David, and we'll see that in the next pasuk that the armor didn't really fit David. It was dragging him, and he chose not to wear it. So that's more with dealing with a more pashup shot approach, not with the Medrash that it miraculously fit David, but rather the question is, why would Shaul put his clothes on David? It doesn't, he's much bigger, it wouldn't fit him. And the answer is that he was putting on his armor, and it's true it didn't fit him, and that's why David didn't want to wear it in the end. So we see that in the next pasuk, it says,
this explanation of the armor of his Goliath was bigger, even if he has much armor, it wouldn't help. His only approach was faster than Goliath.
You mean why he wanted to take it off?
Yes.
Yeah.
In part, there is one explanation that Goliath was... had poor vision. That's when he talked to David to come to me because he doesn't see well.
Okay, we'll get there. We're not up to that yet. But. Okay. So. So pasuk lamed tes vayachkor David escharbo me'al v'madov, and David, I think it means he armed himself with his sword on his armor, vayoel aleches. And this word vayoel, Rashi brings two understandings. We'll do one at a time. One understanding is that he refused. He refused to go in armor. Kilo nisa, because it wouldn't be a nace, it wouldn't be a miracle. And he knew that the only way that he would be victorious against Goliath as if it was a clear, open miracle. Otherwise, he wasn't going to beat him in natural ways. He was relying on Hashem's help, and if he had armor, and if he looked, and if it wasn't clear that it was a miracle, then it wasn't going to happen. There wouldn't be a point to make a miracle then. I can't go in this armor. And that would be understood to mean something like, because it wouldn't be a nace, it wouldn't be a miracle. And David removed them from upon him. That's one understanding, that he refused to go in armor because it was wouldn't be a miracle. The other way to understand it is Vayoel Alech means he began. He started to try to go. He attempted to go. And Kilo Nisa, because this here Nisa would be like Nisa Young, he hadn't tested it yet. And David said, I can't go, I can't move in your armor. Kilo Nisisi, I hadn't tested it before, and now I see that it's too heavy, I can't move. And he removed Shaul's armor from him.
we lie in miracles.
Right. Well, I think that here is that we don't rely on miracles. So here may be different because here, I once heard of Vart that from Gavriel Bolak, his name was. He was a mirror. He was a altar mirror. He had come from Shanghai. He was a rabbi in my yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael called Torah. And he said the following part, which may answer the question. He said that we find in Megillas Esther that when Esther is accusing Haman in front of Ahasuerus, so it says, she says, Ish tzar ve'oyev, right? It's an evil man, right? An enemy. And the Medrash says that she tried to point to Ahasuerus, the Gemara says. And the Malach came and moved her finger towards Haman. So he asked the question, what was she thinking? You know, what was she thinking trying to point at Ahasuerus? So he wanted to answer that she was basically relying on an ace at this point. And that which a person can't rely on an ace is when it's under normal circumstances. But if you see that the circumstances are already nisi, they're already miraculous, so at that point you could continue to rely on an ace. So he says, I think he wanted to say that that's also the pshat in Hanukkah, in why they, what does he want to say, why they relied on the oil, even though, maybe because of Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, I forget, he had another tie into Hanukkah, but anyways, that was the basic idea, that was the yesod. So over here also, David had this sign with the Ari and the Dove that something miraculous, Hashem was going to make a miracle for him to save Klal Yisrael. So here he was ready to rely on a miracle. But what I was trying to say before, which may also tie in, is that he wasn't going to be able to win in natural ways. It would have been impossible. So it had to be an ace. So once it has to be an ace, you don't want it to look less like an ace. You want it to be clear that it's an ace, because that's the purpose of an ace, so that people can know that it was a miracle. But if it doesn't look like it, then it defeats the whole purpose. So that would be why he specifically wanted it to be clear that it was a miracle. Okay.
It was impossible. Sling, because his old armor, very small opening,
right,
and get like it wasn't closed.
Right. Yeah, so we'll get that. Yeah, we'll get to it. Right. It was definitely miraculous. So. Fine. Pasuk mem vayikach maklo biyado, and he took his staff in his hand. Vayivchar lo chamisha chaluke avanim min hanachal, and he chose five smooth stones from the river. Vayasem osam bikli haroim asher lo, and he put them into his shepherd's bag that he had. Uva yalkut, and into the another kind of holder, collector. The kalo biyado, and he was holding his slingshot. Vayigash el apushti, and he approached the Philistine. He approached Goliath. Farshim say that he was trying to hide the stones so that Goliath wouldn't be able to see, wouldn't know what he was planning. And they say the Yalkut is some kind of holder for the slingshot and the stones. Now, right, it is interesting though why Kalo Biyada, why he still held the slingshot in his hand if he was trying to hide it. But I don't know. I'm not sure.
Which river? Is it supposed to be the Jordan?
I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not sure where they were exactly. He don't. I don't remember
where it is. I mean, it's,
there is no river right now. There. Jordan is way away.
Right. It could have been right, a spring or something. It doesn't.
It was the Ocalan Valley, so that may have been a.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know where they were exactly, and I don't know.
It could be something in the bottom of the valley. You know, a small brook in the bottom of the valley.
Okay, Vayelech HaPlishti, Hovech V'karev El David. And the Plishti went forth and back to David. Va'ish Nosei Yatzino Lefanav, and the man carrying the shield went before him. So Goliath is now, you know, getting closer. He's willing to come close. Holich v'karev, he's approaching David. Vayabe ta plishti, vayires David, vayivizeo. Pasuk mem beis, and the plishti peered out, and he saw David, and he was mevaze him. He disgraced him. Ki haya nar, or he was disgraceful in his eyes. Ki haya nar, because he was a lad, ve'admoni im yifei mare, and he was red with nice looks. He didn't have the look of a warrior. He looked like a handsome young boy, and that in Goliath's eyes was a bizayon, was disgraceful. This is not a fitting opponent. The Malbim says the pasuk is trying to stress that he wasn't scared at all. Goliath, don't think that he had any fear of David. On the contrary, when he saw, you know, a young, handsome-looking guy, so, you know, soft and untrained, so that only gave him, you know, more strength and more anger, and brought him on. So what happens? Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayomer HaPlishti El David, and the Plishti said to David, Hakelev Anochi Ki Atavo Elai B'Maklos, am I some kind of dog that you're coming upon me with slingshots? Vayikalel HaPlishti Es David Be'Lokav, and the Plishti cursed David with the name of his gods. You're right. Makelos, you're right, is sticks. Kala is a slingshot, and Makel is a stick.
But that's the kind of point that why they think that he had one stick. But Goliath took sticks because of his.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, like you have multiple.
Okay, that's interesting. You're saying that right. So David, the Mefarshim say the reason why he brought the stick was to trick him, to make it look like he was going to attack him with the stick. But you're pointing out that it was one stick, and Goliath here says, why are you coming with sticks, plural? So he seemed to perceive that he was carrying two sticks. He didn't realize that he was carrying a stick and a slingshot. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Vayomer HaPlishti El David, and the Plishti said to David, L'chayilai, come to me, ve'etnas b'sarcha le'of ha'shamayim u'levemas ha'sadeh. Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the animals of the field. So, at this point, he stops moving forward. He wants David now to come to him, L'chayilai. And this was because it was actually hard for, the Radak says it was hard for him to move. Goliath was wearing a lot of armor. and it was hard for him to move forward. And so at this point, he's, I guess, tired. He wants David now to approach him. And he says, come here, and I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the animals of the field. Now, Rashi says that it's that behema usually refers to domesticated animals. Chaya is what we use for the more wild animals. So this didn't really make sense. I'm going to feed you to the behemoths. I'm going to feed your flesh to the cow, right? Like, to sheep. What's Goliath talking about? So Rashi says David said, wow, he's already lost his mind. He has lost his mind. Shelihu, he's mine. I'm going to be able to take him. He's not smart. So David says, and you'll see in the next pasuk, when David speaks to him, he says, I'm going to give your flesh to the chaya sasada, to the animals. Not in the next pasuk, but in two pasukim from there. Now, some of Arshim ask on this Rashi, I think Rashi is based on a medrash, but they ask that, is it so out of place to say that you're going to feed their flesh to the behemoths, to those kinds of animals? It's a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk in Parshas Ki Savo, in the Tochacha, that Hashem says that if you don't listen to the mitzvos, Vaisa nivrascha lemachal, and your nevela and your carcasses will be for consumption, to the birds of the heavens and to the animals of the field. So it's a pasuk. So that the Torah says that flesh can be fed to animals. So why is this so out of place for David for Goliath to say this? The Torah also uses such terminology that flesh will be fed to behemos, which usually means domesticated animals. So a number of Mefarshim asked this question. I think I saw a quote in the name of the Ayala Shlucha, and I tracked down on Hebrew Books this print, which isn't the best print, but subsequently I saw that the Kliyakar, in a much better print, says the same thing, but I didn't print that page out. To compare, this is what the Kliyakar print looks like, and this is what the Ayala Shlucha print looks like. It's a little bit harder to read. But the Ayala Shlucha brings down two answers. He says, and they're very similar. One answer is that in the Torah, when it says your flesh will be fed to the animals, so that's in the Tochacha. That's during the rebuke, during the curses. And there, right before that, it says that the heavens will be like nechoshes, will be like copper, and the land will be like iron. That it's talking about a time of famine where there will be no food. The heavens are going to be closed up, the land is going to be like iron, nothing's going to be growing. That's where it says, in that context, it says that the animals will eat your flesh. But that's because there's nothing else to eat. That's in a time of famine. The curse says that it's going to be such a terrible famine that there will be no food, and you will die, and your flesh will be eaten by the animals. So in such a situation, it's normal where the Torah says that it's normal that an animal will eat flesh. But over here, there's no famine going on. Animals are not eating any human flesh. They're these types of animals, and that's why it was a sign to David that Goliath had actually lost his mind by making such an inaccurate statement. One more answer he says, very similar, is that either way, whether it was famine there, it wasn't famine there, but obviously that's Hashem talking. Hashem saying, I'm sending a curse. So at a time that Hashem sends a curse, so it's acceptable, it's appropriate or possible that animals will eat from even human flesh. But that's Hashem can say that, because Hashem can change nature. But for Goliath to say it just made no sense, and that's why David considered him to have gone crazy when he heard him say that.
Yeah. But Goliath says animals. His name was included pigs. Philistines ate pigs. So for his, and the pigs will eat everything.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's an interesting answer. Yeah. Could be.
There's another possible. Goliath was not speaking his native language.
But pigs is not animals of the field.
That's true. Now, the fact, though, that the Navi used that word, in contrast to what it's going to use two psukim later, is coming to tell us something, though. Meaning the Navi in recording whatever Goliath said in whatever language.
No, I'm saying he was
trying
to speak Hebrew. He was not speaking his native language.
Oh, he just said the wrong word.
He didn't have all the foreign.
Okay, that's an interesting answer. It's an interesting answer.
He spoke Greek, a form of Greek.
Okay. I like it.
You like it?
The question is, you know, why would he say, "I'll feed your flesh to the behemoth"? So Rashi says it must have gone crazy. So Mr. Sapper is saying, well, he didn't know this language so well. Could be he just got the wrong word because he didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh so well. Right, exactly.
He wasn't a Canaanite.
Right, so...
He was nervous because he saw something was fishy going on, so he stumbled on his words.
Uh-huh.
Under the stress of battle.
Yeah, because he saw this kid coming, he knew something was fishy going on.
Uh-huh.
Also, when people try to intimidate, they try to avoid, make worse than it did.
Yeah. Okay. Pasuk mem hey. Vayomer David al haplishti. And David said to the plishti, Ata bo elai becherev uvachanis uvechidon. You're coming at me with a sword and a spear and a kidon, which is some other kind of spear or something.
A javelin,
okay.
The anochi
ba yilecha b'shem Hashem Tzavakos, and I'm coming to you in the name of the God of legions, Elokei Marchos Yisrael Asher Chirafta, the God of the legions of Israel that you have insulted, that you have disgraced. Hayom Hazeh, on this day, Yisagercha Hashem B'yadi, Hashem will close you off into my hand, V'kisicha, and I'll strike you, V'asirosi Yisroshcha Me'alecha, and I will remove your head from you, V'nasati Peger Machane Plishtim Hayom Hazeh, and I will feed not just you, but all the carcasses of the camp of the Plishtim, of the Plishti encampment. On this day I will feed them Le'of HaShamayim, to the birds of the heaven, U'lechayas Aretz, David gets the right word in, to the chayos, to the wild animals of the land, V'yedu Kol Aretz, and all the land will know, Ki Yesh Elokim LeYisrael, that there is a God in Israel, that there's an Elokim, there's a source of all powers, that all powers comes from, all power comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was really, let's just see the next pasuk, and then we'll contrast that. The Yedu Kol Hazeh, and all of this nation, the Jewish people, will know Ki Lo B'Chayrev V'Chanes Yoshia Hashem, that it's not with sword and spear that Hashem brings salvation. Ki La Hashem HaMilchama, because Hashem is in charge of war. V'Nasan Eschem B'Yadeinu, and He will give you over into our hands. So just looking at those two psukim together, so David says that Hashem is going to hand you over into my hand, and He's going to hand over your plishti countrymen, and all the world, all the land will know Ki Yesh Elokim LeYisrael, that there is a Elokim in Israel, because the nations of the world who worship idolatry, they worship idols, they're worshiping all sorts of other spiritual forces in the world. And Elohim says, the name Elohim says, Hashem is the source of all power. Hashem is in charge of every spiritual and physical force in the world. And so that's why we worship only the Elohim, only the source of all powers, as opposed to the nations that worship those forces themselves. And then so in that part, in the end of Pasuk Mem Vav, the end of 46, he's talking about all the people of the land, not just the Jewish people. They'll all know that there's an Elohim in Israel, that the God of Israel is the source of all powers. And also, all of this congregation, all the Jewish people, will know that Hashem saves. It doesn't, you know, Hashem. They'll learn bitachon. Hashem can save Klal Yisrael. It's not through the might of their sword or their spear, but rather, Hashem is the one who wins our battles. Pasuk Memches, Vehaya Kikam Aplishti, and it was when the Plishti got up, Veyelech Vayikra Vlikras David, and he went and he came close to greet David. So now he's on the move again, right? He's been angered. David has said that he pushed the right buttons, and he gets up. And even though originally he said L'chayelai, he said come to me. Now he's come. He gets up and he starts to approach David, and he's angry. Vayimaher David, and David hurried vayaratz ha'maracha, and he ran towards the legions. Likras ha'plishti, in order to greet the plishti. Not that he's not running towards the plishti, but he's actually running backwards. But in order to be able to greet the plishti, he's running towards the legions, towards his people. But in order to be able to fight him, he's running in that direction. That's at least a sama farsha. I guess you could learn he's running towards him. That's what it sounds like, Glickras. But it doesn't, based on his method here, I don't know if he was running, it makes sense that he was trying to get too close. So, I mean, I guess he had to get within range. I don't know how far he was. But definitely some of Farshim learn here, it doesn't mean that, it says he went towards the Ma'aracha, towards the legions. So depending on which Ma'aracha that is, if it's the Jewish Ma'aracha, the Jewish legions, or the Plishti ones, would really determine which direction he is running. Anyways, he ran somewhere, either towards him or away from him, in order to prepare to fight him.
He would have had to go around the shield holder. One of these guys had a shield holder, an extra guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he ran towards the Plishti, he would have gone around the shield holder, or Galias would have been the other way. Galias would have to walk in front of his shield holder.
Right. I'm not sure how he... I'm not sure, because he's going to hit him in the head, so he may not... The shield may not come up as high as the head. I'm not sure.
He must have closed the distance rather closely.
He wasn't actually close, because he cannot come too close, because then he'll be in the range of Goliath.
Right, well,
he throws here, or he has no armor.
Yeah, but if he doesn't have armor, and he's young and nimble and really fast, a young kid, he can close the distance real fast before this lumbering giant can raise anything, you know, and throw.
Yeah, but he has to kind of get really good training and like split of a second. And
I'm not a soldier.
Yeah, we'll get to
it.
Okay, so it's not clear. It's not so clear from the pasuk, and I'm sure there's different ways to go on this. But he ran somewhere in order to be able to fight, to be in better position to fight. Vayishlach David es yado al hakeli, and David sent his hand into his bag, I guess. Vayikach misham even, and he took a stone from there. Vayikala, and he swinged it. Vayach es haplishti al mitzvo, and he struck the plishti in his forehead. Vatitva ha-even b'mitzvo, and the stone sunk into his forehead. Vayipol al-pon of artsa, and he fell to the ground on his face. So
he really strong.
So he threw it at his forehead, and it sunk into his forehead. It sunk into his forehead. So what does that mean? So the Mefarshim, so the Radak brings three possibilities what that means. So either he says, well, wasn't he wearing a protection in that place? So how could the stone sink into his forehead? So possibility number one he brings, I think they're all based on Midrashim, three different Midrashim offering three different answers. Answer number one is that when either David or when Goliath said, you know, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the heavens, to the birds of the sky, so he looked up. And when he looked up, his armor moved back on his head a little bit, revealing a little bit of space for him to be able to strike. Shot number two was there was a little opening. Just there was. There was a little opening that he was able to strike him in. And shot number three, says the Radak, who needs all of these practical explanations? This whole thing is miraculous. The fact that he was able to hit him right on that spot and all of that. And it was a nace, and it went through the armor miraculously into his forehead. There's an interesting medrash that relates to this that says that sort of the armor was rewarded for this, in that up till that point, for Bris Milah, they traditionally used stone. Like we find by David and by Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzipporah, that she takes an Evan, she takes a stone and performs the Bris Milah on their son. But he says that, I think it's a Prisha maybe who says this, that up to, maybe quoting a Medrash, that up till this point they always did Milah with stone. And from here on, that the armor was sort of the iron was rewarded, and they started to do Milah with iron. So that's in terms of the stone hitting his forehead. Now it says that he fell on his face. So is that normal for him to fall on his face? So Radak says, yeah. Radak says, Pashupshat is that he got hit in the face. It didn't knock him over, but he was weakened. And then he was weakened and he fell forward on his face. But Rashi brings a medrash that no, he should have fallen backwards. It really would depend what happened. If he fell from the force, so he should have fallen backwards. If he fell from tiredness, then he would fall forwards. So Rashi says he should have fallen backwards, but Hashem made a miracle that he fell forwards. And Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says, the medrash really, that in order not to trouble David to go, because David's going to now cut off his head. So in order not to trouble David to have to walk an extra 12 amos and two zereses, because Goliath was 6 amos and a zeres tall, so in order to not trouble him, so then his reward was that he fell forward. Now, we're not talking about, you know, 6 amos is tall for a person, but, you know, we're maximum talking about, 12, a little over 12 feet. So we're not talking about, and so you wouldn't have to walk an extra 25 feet. Hashem made a miracle and made him fall forward. So it's a very interesting medrash. Like, you know, what an amazing reward, you know, what it's worth making a miracle for to not trouble David in order to walk an extra 25 feet. Hashem makes a miracle and he falls forward. So what's the story with this medrash? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichos Musar says, he brings this in a different, he has a number of different examples of this, but this is one of them, that sometimes Hashem makes a little extra miracle just as like the icing on the cake. He gives a mashal. He says, mashal story, a family, they lose a very valuable diamond that has been in the family for generations, and they're very upset, and they're looking all over for it, and suddenly one of the little boys in the family finds it, and he rushes over to his father and he brings him the diamond, and the father is so happy that he found the diamond, and he gives the kid a big kiss. So he says, in that story, the whole family is so happy that they found the diamond. That's the main thing. But the boy is extra happy, he's extra rewarded, because not only did he find the diamond, but he made his father proud, and he got a kiss as a result. So that's the same thing that happened here with David HaMelech. The The miracle certainly was that he was able to defeat Goliath. That was the whole thing. That was the main miracle. A victory for Klal Yisrael. That was the main point. But when miraculously Hashem made it that Goliath fell forward instead of backward to make it just a little bit easier for him, so that was like an extra peck on the cheek from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David, an extra little act of love that showed, you know, how proud and how happy Hashem was with David. So sometimes you find an unnecessary nace. It's not necessary. He could have walked an extra 25 feet. He walked all the way here. He ran to attack him. But the extra little nace is just an extra act of love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David HaMelech. Other midrashim say that the reason why he fell on his face, the Radak brings other midrashim. One of them is that because he had blasphemed and insulted with his mouth, so he fell on his face to cover that mouth that had spoken such terrible things from it. And another idea is that he was wearing, or he says it was chukah, carved into his heart, I guess either a tattoo or some kind of necklace of an idol on his chest, and so he fell forward onto that idol, and it says the Radak, it says the Medrash, it was Mekayim the Pasuk, it fulfilled the Pasuk. Hashem says, V'nasati figrechem al figre gilulechem, I will place your corpses on the corpses of your idols. That he made the corpse of Goliath fall on top of his idol. So that's a number of different explanations for why Goliath fell forward. Either because it was just natural that he fell forward because he didn't get knocked down and he was tired and he fell forward, or he was weakened, or it was a miracle to save David from having to run an extra 25 feet, or it was a miracle to cover up his mouth, which had cursed and blasphemed, or in order to cover up the Avodah Zarah that he was wearing on his chest.
There's another explanation.
Yeah?
His armor would have been on the front of his body.
And it weighed him forward. Even then, though, you still have to come out to that he was able to hold up his balance after the impact. Like, and then he fell forward. I mean, if he got a big impact, so he would still fall backwards from that impact, unless he was able to hold himself and then fall forward, right?
Walking forward, though, his momentum is forward.
The momentum of stone is not that great.
Right.
He put his head backwards, but
you're saying he was just too heavy from the head down. Okay, yeah, it's possible. Okay, let's just do one more pasuk. Vayaratz David vayamod al haplishti, and David ran and he stood over the plishti. Vayikach es charbo, and he took his sword. Vayishlefo mitara, and he removed it from its sheath. Vayimosaseyu, and he killed him. So some of Arshim say that he was not dead yet, and this was finishing him off. The Malbim says that that's the solution of, instead of Vayimisei, Vayimosaseyu means he brought Gemar Misa to him, he brought the end of death to him, he finished him off. Other Farshim say, well, he was already dead, and that's Vayimosaseyu is somehow expressing that he was already dead. Vayichras plus Rosho, and he took the sword, he cut off his head. Vayiru aplishtim kimeski boram Vayonusu, and the Plishtim saw that their hero, their mighty one, had died, and the Plishtim fled. Now, there's an interesting medrash on this pasuk, which is that David was unable to remove the sword from the sheath, and he had to get Goliath's assistant to help him. And who was that assistant? It was Uriah Hachiti. Uriah the Hittite, who eventually, and Uriah made him a deal. Uriah said, I'm only going to help you remove the sword if you let me marry a Jewish woman. And David had to let her marry a Jew. David agreed, he made that deal, maybe incorrectly. He made that deal. And so who does Uriah end up marrying? Bathsheba, who's destined really for David, but because he made this deal, he has to give up the wife that was destined for him to Uriah Hachiti, and the rest is history, as they say.
Why would a Hittite be helping the police team?
I do not know. I think there's a lot of discussion about who he was and